and identify the troublemakers early. No, you're not a troublemaker. No. I feel the evil eye, but you're surrounded by troublemakers. You're not buying my story? You get, give me five. Nailed it. All right. All right. Well, now, thank you, everybody, for bringing these young men and women up here. Just continue to do that. So our role as a church is to equip the saints, some of the saints. But what we got to do is we got a classroom for them. And so there's some saints in that classroom. We're going to help these children take a hold of Jesus in a way that they'll be able to understand. And so, if you will, join me. We'll pray for those classrooms. We'll pray for those teachers. We'll pray for all of these hoodlums. That's the Mexican word for young men and women. We'll pray for them. So all of us cowboys, let's pull our hats off. And let's all of us bow our heads and close our eyes for just a second while we pray. Lord Jesus, thank you again for what you do, for who you are. And we just ask for your guidance and your special blessing on these classrooms and these children and these teachers today, that they might take a hold of something fresh, life-changing. Or we just ask for your spirit to overwhelm this place and this time. We ask for your blessing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, now get a donut. Refill your coffee cups on the way out. When this church gets a little bit richer, we're going to have Mountain Dew on tap. And then everybody can have Mountain Dew and coffee. If you got them, drink them. All right. You know what it means to be well with your soul? To be well with your soul. Man, oh man, oh man. Sometimes you just can't say stuff with words that you can only say in song, in music. It's just different. I'm glad to say that it is well with my soul today. I pray that it is with you too. But that's in spite of me. Because, boy, I will try to... I do a lot of dumb stuff, apparently. But this morning, I want to help you by helping me. I want to understand a little bit. I saw you shrug your shoulders, honey. But here's the thing, right? First, I want to tell you a little story. Because I'm the preacher, I get to tell stories. So, not too long ago, I was working some cows, had a good crew, everybody was together. We were going to strip some big calves, work some little calves. We just needed to worm all the cows. Injectable. So I set the crew up and the tub and the snake feed from the lot where the cows are to the other side of the fence where there's a little bit more of the snake goes into the chute. So you can get 8 or 10 head in this thing. There's 3 or 4 for him to worm, 3 or 4 for me to worm. I got a crew back there punching them up into there. I got a crew over here on horses, and they're sorting the cows. You always sort the cows first. The cows will run. You can't make calves do nothing you want them to do. So anyway, they're sorting the cows. They're running in there. A couple hundred head. We got to hustle a little bit. The day's going to be long, and so we're doing good. We're doing good. Dang it, man, it's working out, boy. Except for this bottle, this jar of Ivamex, just leaking all over me. I hate wasting it, but I hate worse that it's getting on me. And I'm absorbing it, so I'm pretty much worm-free. But I'm getting it all over me. And so we go through a lot of these cows pretty quickly, and I'm in the lot. And then my buddy's on the catwalk beside the snake here. And so I walk into the corner, and I say, hey, hand me one of them paper towels, them blue paper towels comes in a box. I said, I'm going to wrap it around this bottle because I'm just wormed out. And I got the needle in this hand and the jar, big jar, big glass bottle in this hand. And as I'm putting the towel around that thing, I hear my alleged friend behind me, y'all are, look out. A little panic in his voice, recognized it pretty quick. And And just as I turned to look, and I'm jacked up in the corner of this corral, I got mugged. And this old cow, she was mad to start with. They'd been punching her and hot-shotting her. And as she came in the lot, they was trying to make her go up there in the tub, and she refused it. And so she come over, and she saw me with my back to her. Obviously, she didn't know my power, because I could poke her with that needle as many times as I want to. But anyway, she comes in, she assaulted me. And she was violent. I'm pretty sure she chewed my leg off. She didn't have horns. It hurt, but she caught me totally unawares, by surprise. And she was, and all I could do was take it. I got the bottle and I got the needle. And all eight of my buddies, nine of them, are all just looking around there talking about, dang, I bet that hurt. Because it did. And so finally she just gives up. She decided that it was a bad enough mugging that she decided she'd leave, and she runs off down the other side, and they open the gate, and she goes out there, you know, and everybody's concerned afterward. Oh, are you okay? I ain't okay. I've lost my leg. And so I'm trying to, I say, hold on to that for a minute while I limp around, because I want to keep moving around. I said, let's just keep going. We got to keep going. And in my mind, I'm mad. I'm mad because I'm mad at everybody, not just the cow. Because I thought, how did she get on me like that? Nobody said nothing. You know what I'm saying? How did this cow sneak up on me? And nobody said nothing. I mean, she's pretty athletic for a big old soggy sucker. The pen ain't that big. But obviously, she had evil intentions when she came in the lot. Everybody else in there is on horseback or on the other side of the fence. I was the only one standing on the ground. I had my back to her, which disregard my own personal responsibility in the deal. She assaults me. They warned me way too late for me to do anything about it. And as athletic as I am, I probably could have escaped this thing. That's a lie. I would have just died there. At the end of the day, I'm mad about how did this cow get on me, and nobody warned me. So I'm mulling over that, trying to get back into work. I get my Ivermec, I go back to worming cows. We're doing it. It's all working good. But having been violated by this cow, and me trying to get over the reality that I'm pretty sure my buddies were laughing about the whole thing, as I'm stuck in a corner trying to save the bottle and not ruin the needle and just survive while she's eating my leg. And I can't get my head over this thing. I'm mad at those boys. What were you doing? How come you let this happen to me? And then I'm thinking to myself, Brett, you got to get past it. You got to get past it. Because I do got to get past it. And you know what I thought of? In John 16, Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. And that comes into my head, and I think, you know what? In this pen, I will have trouble. I have a responsibility for me to keep my head up. It ain't big. So every cow comes in there is possibly going to assault me. And if I don't keep my head up, I can't just depend on everybody else who's also doing a lot of other stuff to have their head up and protecting me. I got to take on some personal responsibility. And that's also making me mad. Because I got hurt. And so what I want to talk about this morning is personal responsibility. How it is that you and I feel like our Lord and Savior. Like, so what is God's responsibility regarding me? And what is my responsibility regarding me? See, because somehow can I blame all those boys for letting that cow kill me? I'd like to, but I can't. Because it's my responsibility to keep my head up all the time. Not to miss. So if I make a mistake, I got to accept. I got to take that on. I got to go, yeah. I don't want to. Because somehow somebody could have said, Brett, look out, this cow hates everybody. And I'm the only one standing on the ground with my back to her. All of that stuff is going on in my head. And I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do this. But here's what I want. Here's what I want us to know. Maybe it's going to help us a little bit. But so I recognize that Jesus is always doing something for me. He is always at work on my behalf. I don't always recognize when he goes, "Hey, watch out." Because in this world, I will have trouble. It's going to be a struggle. I'm going to fight this thing. But he is always looking out for us. And what I want us to recognize is that while Jesus is now in heaven interceding for you and I constantly, personally, I want you to look in the Bible, and I want you to open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 22, and I want us to recognize something here. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, they've gone to the Last Supper. Judas is going to betray Jesus. This is the prelude to Peter denying Jesus three times, right? But in 31, here's what Jesus said: "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat." Each of you. He's talking to the 11 apostles. He's saying something to you and I. But Jesus said, "I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon," not Peter, "Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented," so when you are on the other side of it and you recognize your own personal responsibility, "and you have turned to me again, strengthen your brothers." Oh, that's a mouthful. There's a lot in that. There's something big in there for me and you. I'm catching it because I was just mad at everybody who I'd hired for that crew. And I'm trying to get myself past all that. But there's something in it for all of us individually too. We gotta take a hold of this verse. And what this means is that through the wreck, during the wreck, on the other side of the wreck, there has to be some personal responsibility for me. But I have to recognize the sovereignty of God during all of that. Now, he didn't cause that cow to want to kill me. But he did allow it in some sense. Can you catch that? Like if you're just going to be stupid, Brett, and not pay attention, I'm going to let it cost you something. And then maybe you'll start to remember to have your head on a swivel if you're on the ground. You follow me? I'm just saying. And so in this sense, you and I have got to keep on thinking about what God's doing all the time, because there's never a time when he ain't doing something on our behalf. There's never a time we're alone. There's never a time when God ain't working. And so trot to your right to the book of Galatians. Bunch of little one-horse towns. And then Galatians 6 on page 894. Five. Here's what Paul said: "Brothers, if another believer is overcome by sin, and you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path, or you're getting eat up by a cow. You need help. And if you're watching that guy get eat up by a cow or sin, get involved. Be about it. Not about condemnation, but about helping. But be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself." Nobody ought to get off the horse and get hooked and ate by that cow to save me because I was a dummy. I'm supposed to learn something about that. But he also says, "Share each other's burdens. This way you obey the law of Christ. And if you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself." In my Bible, it says you ain't that important. Our faith is going to cost us something. God's working all the time, always has been, always will be, never will stop. But be careful and pay attention to your own work, the things that you're doing. "For then you'll get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for each responsible for our own conduct." It's highlighted in my Bible just recently. We're each responsible for our own conduct. Because that was me not paying attention in that pen. That was me. That was my choice. Of course, I was distracted by a lot of other stuff, but I'm the one responsible for being distracted or not. And if I ain't going to pay attention and I get run over by that cow, that's on me, not on somebody else. There's nobody else's personal responsibility in that thing. I got to keep my head up. I got to pay attention to what I'm doing. I got to pay attention to how I'm doing it, where I'm doing it, when I'm doing it. And if I've got my head up and I run onto somebody else involved in some sort of a little wreck, I probably need to get off my high horse and help them. Need to get down there and find out what I can do that would be beneficial. Not point out. Everybody, we all think we got that spiritual gift of telling you what you're doing wrong. But we, all of us already, we're grown-ups. We already know what went wrong. What we need is a way to the other side. What we need is some discernment about how to move forward, about how to grasp where we are and what God's doing, and to recognize that and then accept that blessing and move forward. It's a big thing for most of us. But I want you to see in verse 7. Verse 7, Paul said, don't be misled. You can't mock the justice of God. You'll always reap what you sow. We know that deal, right? If I'm just going to run around and big time stuff, it's going to cost me somewhere. If I think I'm smarter than God, he'll just prove that I ain't. If I think I can do this on my own, God will only show up and prove that I cannot. But can I tell you that if God has a purpose for me and God has a purpose for you in this world, and Jesus prays and intercedes for us all the time, then I'm not blinking out of here 1 second before I've completed what God's called me to do. That means that cow ain't going to kill me unless my number's up. I am going to walk around with one leg, while she just chewed it right off. It's going to cost me something, but I can still accomplish what God's called me to do, regardless of those circumstances, because God's called us to do something, and I'm able to do it always. It's not God's fault that I just have one leg. I keep talking about that cow because I'm still mad about her. But it ain't God's fault. He allowed this to happen to me. I got to learn something. I got to take something from this. Not be mad at the boys. I got to recognize my own responsibility. If I'm taking care of my work, looking at what I'm doing and how I'm doing it, I can accept that kind of personal responsibility and move on. But here's the most positive thing I want us to see in the Bible. In the book of John, drop back to John chapter 17. And in John chapter 17, Jesus is praying. This is shortly before the cross, and it's a powerful time. We say the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. This is Jesus praying. This is a big thing. Not a model prayer. This is the Lord's praying for me and you. And in verse 20, while he's praying for all of the apostles at the moment, in verse 20, he goes on to say this in 17 and 20. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all those who will ever believe in me through their message. That's me and you. Jesus is literally praying for me and you right there in verse 20. 21, he says, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. He's talking to God the Father. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, may they be in us, so that the world will know that you sent me. He's praying for you and I. These are his words, and it's recorded here by John, so you and I can see this. He wants us to know that he prayed for me. He prayed for you. He prayed for the saints. He prayed for the people he was called. And he's praying that we would be just as close to him as those 11 men are, those apostles are, those men who set this world on fire for the message of grace and salvation. We think they had some special God powers and authorities that we don't have. And God did give them an opportunity to do something supernatural, and they accomplished that. But the same authority that those apostles had to speak, to stand, to do, to go, lives in you and I. It was God in them, and today it's God in us. It's you and I. Jesus prayed that we would recognize him. We would recognize God in the very same way and be close. Jesus in me, a born-again believer, a son of the one true God, that we would be one, just like the apostles are. And sometimes it takes a few more cow fights for you and I to get there. We'll get lost in our own travel sometimes. We get out there in that far country. Things have been so good for so long, we just think God's blessing me. And I really kind of put God on the back burner. Can I get an amen if you've ever done that? Don't say it loud because everybody will hear you. But we'll do that. We get off and we just think to ourselves, I got this. God's blessing me. And I'm not as close as I once was. And then all of a sudden you're in a cow fight. And you got to think to yourself, what are you doing here, Lord? What's going on in this thing? Oh, you didn't sick that cow on me. You allowed me and her to enter into that same space where she could teach me something that you told me in your word, that you said plain, but I let it get behind me. You tracking with me? It's a blessing to recognize that Jesus prayed for us, and we survived it, we learn from it, we grow from it, we get closer by it because of it. God does that for our benefit. I'm going to be honest with you, it's hard to think that God was benefiting me while she was killing me. It took me a long time afterwards to get to recognize what God was doing in this thing. It still hurts me, and I have, and when I think of what that, how that happened, I think, but I see what you did there, God. I see what you did there. And it's not by chance. It was necessary at the time. It was necessary for me to get where God wants me to go. I wish he had just say turn. But he teaches us lessons. And so Jesus says to Peter, in Luke 22 and 32, he said, and once you have survived it and repented and turned to me again, go. Do something with your faith. Do something with what you know. Do something with what I've given you. Become who you are. Become who you are, what you've done. Go and strengthen everybody. And we see this in Peter. I want you to turn to John chapter 21. Say that? Well, Luke's pretty smart. So in John 21, that's what I like about me. I'll trade horses right in the middle of the stream. But in Luke chapter 21, John chapter 21, stop it, Pat. So this is the place where Jesus is about to ascend into heaven. It's over. He's going there, and he'll be there till he comes riding back, and we all get them white ponies, right? And this is where Peter has decided him and the boys are going to go fishing. All this has been good. I don't understand. I'm struggling with this. He's still Simon. And what I want you to recognize is that often Jesus calls him Simon. Sometimes he calls him Peter. When he calls him Simon, he's talking about the old you, cowboy. The old you. But when he says Peter, when he says you're the rock, he's talking about the new you. The one that I will build my church on. And here's where we see that happen to Peter. In 21 and 15, it said after they saw him, he said, throw your nets over there, catch all the fish. He jumps in the boat, he swims. He said, oh, man, Jesus. And he gets out there, Jesus is making him breakfast. And after they eat, it says in 21, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, not Peter, do you love me more than these? The boys standing around there, the world going. He said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And then feed my lambs, feed the young, take care of. And then a little later, Jesus repeated the same question. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And yes, Lord, Peter said, you know that I love you. And he said, take care of my sheep. Take care of the me's and the you's of the world. But it ain't over. So it was a third time. And Jesus said, Simon, again, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt that Jesus asked that question a third time. And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Feed my sheep, he said. Take care of the young. Care for people. Look out for people. Do for people. Take what I've given you and share it with people in the world. Share hope, grace, love, clothes, food, gas. If you think you're too important to help, get over yourself. Those are Bible words. It's all over me sometimes. But here's what I want us to recognize. So after Jesus says these things, you know what he says in verse 19? Follow me. So the answer to all of our issues, what do I do with kids? Follow me, I'll lead you. Answer, what do I do with people? Follow me, I'll lead you. The answer to what do I do with anything? Follow me, I'll lead you. Answer, what do I do when I'm wondering what to do? Follow me. Lord, what do I do when I think I know what to do? Follow me. No matter what's going on, Jesus says, follow me. It works for Peter, works for me, works for you. Follow me is the only command. And by following, then I don't get stuck in this cow pen with a mad cow. If I learn my lessons, if I stay on track, if I'm not too self-important, if I follow Jesus. And here's the thing. By faith, we're supposed to lead, we're loved, to share, to give. By faith, we are supposed to follow. And we only know how to follow because we've discerned, we've heard, we've been in the Word. We understand what God's saying. Because He literally might send a cow to make you understand. He's not going to write it on the dust in the dash of my pickup, but He will send a cow. And then if I'm doing that, the sovereign God of creation, who is always involved, always has been, always will be, never leaves me nor forsakes me, will guide me. But then I have another choice to make. Do I follow obediently, or do I think, I'll tell you how I'll do it, Lord. Oh, which happens to me, probably happens to you. Because God knew before the foundation of the world who I was, what I was going to be, how it was going to go for me. What He needed me to do, what He needs you to do, what He's given us to accomplish, it's all there. It's all true. And so let's get back to the personal responsibility part of our walk of faith. There's just a great place in Scripture called the 23rd Psalm. And I want you to go there. Because this 23rd Psalm epitomizes personal responsibility. Epitomizes who we are, what we do, how we go. We hear this at funerals. This is a life lesson. In the Living Translation, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need." Do you believe that? Is it well with your soul? Oh, He leads me to rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. We're talking about God. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Can you say that and believe it? Or do we just say that? Do we really follow? Do we really let God renew us? Do we really let God lead us? Or do we just wake up and decide, I know what I ought to be doing today, and be about our own business? And just so you know, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. Can I tell you that there are cow fights in your future? Even in our struggles, our fears, our doubts, all that's going to happen to us, and we got to decide how we handle it, how we manage it. And here it is. I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me. Your rod and Your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. That's what God says about you and I. It's the Old Testament 23rd Psalm written a jillion years ago, and it is relative to our walk today. Surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Is it well with your soul? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you You recognize Jesus leading, guiding, prompting, moving in your life? Do you get in a cow fight and you stay mad until another cow fight because you can't recognize the lesson that God's bringing, that He's sharing, that He's teaching? Knowing Jesus is the beginning of your walk. But coming to church on Sunday, that's one step in a walk. That's one step in a walk. This is a lifestyle. This is if the Lord is your shepherd, you're going where He takes you. If He leads you beside peaceful waters, be happy. If He leads you into a cow fight, recognize. He anoints my head with oil, and surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't know what else to say. Let's pray. Lord, it is helpful to me. It is helpful to me to open your word and to bump into the 23rd Psalm. It's helpful to me to recognize that you pray for me. To know that you pray for good. But that sometimes for me to understand, for me to grasp, for me to get where you're taking me, even though I know, I hear, I see, I still make choices selfishly. Lord, sometimes I need the correction. I need to understand that you are sovereignly in control of everything. And so my desire is to be led by peaceful streams, to lay down in green pastures. My desire is for goodness and mercy to follow me all my days and to dwell in the house of the Lord. So take control. Take over. Take me. And Lord, if there's any of us here this morning that are struggling with what that means and what that looks like, you have sent great men and women to this church that we might help walk somebody into the scriptures that share and point and direct. So this morning, as we leave out of here, would you move in the lives and the hearts and the minds of men and women that we might be stronger to face this broken world, the cow fights of our lives, and we would take a rest in the house of the Lord. Lord, we pray all this in the precious holy name of your Son, Jesus, and all of God's people say, amen.
I'll fly away. Yes, when I die.